Have you memorized Proverbs 21:5? It reads, steady plotting brings prosperity, hasty speculation brings poverty. Hi, I'm Rob West. Maybe you know it by heart, but taking it to heart is a different thing altogether. It's a double-edged verse, and you must follow both parts to be financially successful. We'll unpack it further by diving into God's Word today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so I said there are two sides to Proverbs 21:5, and they're really about not giving up and not giving in. Steady plotting means not giving up, and hasty speculation means giving in to greed. Let's look at the perils of hasty speculation first. To do that, we have a real-life story of an executive at a major Western bank, and to protect his anonymity, we'll just call him Brian. Starting his career in finance back in the 1990s, Brian probably thought he was pretty good at managing money, although he admits he was living beyond his means and accumulating debt. That left him vulnerable to the promise of great riches at the peak of the dot-com craze in early 2000. Like so many others at the time, Brian hadn't grasped the biblical truth that hasty speculation brings poverty. When a coworker offered to bring him in on the ground floor of a can't-lose tech startup, Brian was all in. He invested $10,000 he managed to scrape together and, as he describes it, got ready to pop champagne corks. But the only popping Brian heard was the dot-com bubble bursting. He lost everything by investing in a company he knew nothing about. He had given in to hasty speculation and paid the price, as Proverbs 28:20 warns. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Of course, God doesn't sit around and wait for you to make foolish mistakes with money so he can punish you. He doesn't have to, because the consequences of poor money management happen all on their own, and those consequences can be severe. Hasty speculation born of greed is just one example. 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10 warns, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Okay, so much for not giving in. Now for not giving up. That's a short definition of steady plotting. A longer one would be living within your means, avoiding debt, saving for short-term needs, and investing consistently for long-term needs, and to do those things for a very long time. That's steady plotting. And you might think it doesn't sound very exciting, but don't be fooled. There's plenty of drama in staying the course and following God's financial principles. When you do, you'll experience highs and lows, great peace and contentment, and probably some discouraging setbacks along the way. God's Word addresses this too. In James 1, 2 through 4, we find, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So God's Word encourages us to not give up, and this is where we get back to our story of Brian the banker. Fortunately, he didn't give up, even after losing all his money. Instead, he took a course on biblical money management through his church, and that's when things started to turn around for him. Brian says God's Word taught him to be more frugal and disciplined with money. He saved and eventually began investing in real estate, something he knew more about. He started small and went slowly, with no get-rich-quick scheme, just steady plotting. And over the years, it paid off. Because he wasn't over-leveraged, Brian's real estate venture survived the housing crash and Great Recession. Eventually, he was able to start a fitness-related business with his son, a dream he'd had for many years, and that business survived COVID and today is thriving. Brian says that learning to be more disciplined with budgeting, saving, and investing was an essential part of his financial turnaround. But doing those things over a long period of time was critical. Steady plodding brought Brian out of financial ruin to eventual financial success and security. Now, if you suffer a setback, dust yourself off and keep going. Galatians 6:9 offers this encouragement. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Trouble. Sometimes it seems like life is nothing but trouble, doesn't it? Work is hard. Family life can be challenging. And stress, stress, stress. Adulthood is 90% stress, it seems. And of course, what often follows when hard times come? Temptation. Peter describes Satan as a roaring lion seeking his next meal. But we have Jesus. He told us to pray like this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And you know, we can be confident that our God is powerful and loving enough to give us a way of escape, and He will deliver us from the evil one. If not today, then on the final day, when temptation and sin will be completely defeated. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
We need to just say, Lord, I don't understand why these dark lines have come into my life, but I trust you because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are good. See, I can come to a God like that, who loves me, who's gentle, who's humble in heart.
Learn the depth of God's goodness. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central. Here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Got a great show coming up for you today. We're going to unpack your questions today on anything financial. We'll tackle a couple of emails, some great ones that came in from you, our listeners, at askrob@faithfi.com. And we'll hear from Jerry Boyer as he reflects on the week that we've just finished and give us an update on the economic data that came out this week and what that may tell us about where we're headed economically here in the United States. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. Give us a call with whatever you're thinking about financially today. We'd love to tackle it with you. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Texas. Hi, Chantel. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Do you have a preference between Edward Jones or Merrill Lynch?
Yeah, you know, the company is not as important to me as the advisor. Do you have a financial professional you've worked with, or do you manage your investment assets yourself?
No, it is an advisor, and then he's also related to me, a family member.
Okay. And are you moving to him, away from him? Is this a new relationship? Tell me about that.
Yes, it would be moving to him.
Okay. All right. And which firm is he with?
He is with Merrill Lynch. He was with Edward Jones.
Okay.
And so then he is at Merrill Lynch currently.
Yeah, very good. You know, I think either one would be just fine, Chantel. I think the key is that you find somebody you got a good rapport with, they share your values preferably, they understand what God is doing in your life and how your finances fit into that. They've got a good track record and experience, but, you know, the company that they're with, it's going to custody the assets and give them the trading platform and the technology to serve you really well is really not significant. Edward Jones and Merrill Lynch are both very reputable companies. I think, again, it comes down to you finding the right advisor that's going to be a good fit for you. And so if he's headed to Merrill Lynch and you feel like he's the right guy to serve you and your family, then I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Oh, okay. And then I have one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any tax ramifications if they completely sell out the IRA and then move it to and rebuy in Merrill Lynch?
Well, first of all, they wouldn't have to sell out the investments. They could transfer them over in their current form, as long as Merrill Lynch can hold those mutual funds or stocks or whatever you have, and they probably can. As long as everything stays inside the IRA, then there is not a taxable event there. So if all the investments were liquidated, you're not going to generate any kind of capital gain or loss because it's done inside that tax-deferred environment. The only taxes that are paid related to an IRA would be as the money comes out as a distribution to you, it would be added to your taxable income in the year of the distribution. And if it's before age 59 and a half, there'd be a penalty of 10% on top of that. But if everything stays within the IRA and assets or investments are liquidated, and then the cash inside the IRA is simply transferred to another IRA at another institution, and then investments the same or different investments are repurchased, that's not a taxable event. But again, probably not necessary for those investments to be sold. Every day, assets are transferred through the ACAT system into new firms, and then the advisor that receives them could evaluate what is in the portfolio and then begin to make changes from there. But either situation would not be taxable.
Okay. And then one more quick question. I'm going to add this one. Amazon, do you have any ideas about Amazon stock? Do you prefer that or stay away?
Yeah, we don't give actual specific stock recommendations here on this program, so I would rely on your advisor. What I would just say is that, you know, technology has been somewhat out of favor, and obviously heading into a recession, I think that's, you know, these high growth stocks are going to continue to lag. But, you know, it's obviously a solid, very reputable, massive company that's continuing to do very well. And I think as a part of an overall investment portfolio that's highly diversified, certainly could have its place. But as to the merits of any particular company now or in the future, we tend to stay away from that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate your expertise, and thank you so much for taking my call today.
Absolutely, Chantel. All the best to you, and thank you for being a part of the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's head to South Carolina. Hi, Ruth. How can I help you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Yes, ma'am.
I have multiple credit card debt that is now totaling about $6,000. And I listen to your show every day. I love y'all so much.
Thank you.
And you mentioned the credit counselors, and they could work with us to maybe combine them and reduce the interest. My question is, if I do that, does that affect my credit rating negatively? Like when they write off the balance, does that go on my credit score? I've listened to you, and I've gotten three jobs now, and I'm doing everything I can to come out of this hole. But with the interest rate being what it is, and my credit was low to start with, I'm really struggling.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that, Ruth, and I'm delighted that you're a regular listener to this program. It will have some effect on your credit score. It will be minor. Here's the reality. So when you enter a debt management program, what's also called credit counseling, where the interest rates are lowered and you pay now instead of directly to the creditor through the nonprofit credit counseling agency to receive those lower interest rates, that in and of itself is not a part of the credit scoring algorithm, the fact that you're in a credit counseling program. Now, those accounts will be closed, and so that available credit is no longer a part of the mix. So that could change what's called your credit utilization, the amount you owe versus the amount that's available. That could have a minor negative effect on your credit. And then beyond that, it might be noted that you're in a debt management program. Again, not a part of the credit scoring formula, but on your credit report. And so if a lender was reviewing the report itself and saw that, they could, you know, determine how they want to use that information. But none of those, Ruth, for me, are as important as you getting out of debt once and for all. Unless you're out there getting ready to get a mortgage in the next 6 months, or you need to go buy a car and qualify for a car loan, and you're trying to get above a certain threshold, you know, in a very short period of time to get a better rate, then I would kind of set that aside and let's stay focused on what is the very best way for you to get out of debt and kind of break that cycle of using those credit cards. And I think debt management or credit counseling is the very best way to do that when you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, because the combination of that lower rate and that fixed monthly payment, which as the balances decline, means more money is going to the balance. You're essentially snowballing it every month. That's going to allow you to pay it off 80% faster. So short answer is yes, it could have a minor effect. It's not directly a part of the scoring algorithm, but in my mind, that's secondary to you getting out of debt once and for all. Does that make sense?
It's perfect, and I appreciate your knowledge and your honesty so much. I did everything you told me in the past, and it worked, and then I went through a hard time and
I'm having a little trouble hearing you all of a sudden. Let's do this. I've got to hit a break. Let's talk a little bit more off the air. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org. Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. This is where we apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. We're accepting our role as steward or manager of God's resources, which is a pretty high calling. So let's go back to God's Word and pull those principles out so we can apply them to today's financial decisions and choices. What are you thinking about today? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, and we'd love to hear from you. All right, to Louisiana we go. Hi, Michael. How can I help you, sir?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife is being offered a 401k at her work, but there will be no contributions from the employer. Would it be better to just make sure we maximize all our full Roth IRAs as opposed to doing this, or do both?
Yeah, I think you certainly could do both. It's going to come down to the contribution limits. So with the Roth IRA, what is your age?
I'm 68, she's 65.
Okay, so over age 50, you guys would be able to put in in the Roth IRA, $7,500 this year. The 401k is going to give you quite a bit more. This year, I believe it's $22,500, and then you can put another $7,500 in. So that'd give you a full $30,000 that could go into the 401k. So between your two Roths, if you have one and your wife has one, then you'd be able to put in $15,000 between the two of you in the Roth. If you wanted to be able to put more away for retirement than $15,000, because maybe you're behind and you're trying to catch up a little bit, or you just have, you know, extra surplus right now in this season of life, then that's where the 401k could be helpful. But given the fact that you don't have any matching, I like using the IRA first because you have more control over the investment options. I think the big question here is, do you feel like you're in a higher tax bracket now than you will be in retirement? And would a traditional IRA give you more benefit by taking the immediate deduction? Or do you feel like, you know, you're in still a pretty low bracket right now, you're not earning a ton, and given that we don't know where rates are going from here, tax rates are going from here in the future, would you rather get some tax-free growth and then pull it out tax-free in retirement but pay the taxes today? So I think that's the decision. Oftentimes for younger folks where they have a lot of time on their side for this money to compound tax-free, we like the Roth IRA a lot. Later in life, as you're nearing retirement, usually you're kind of at the peak of your working career, and so you're making more money than maybe you ever have before, and that's where the immediate deduction of the traditional IRA can be helpful. What are your thoughts on that?
I think we will be probably in a lower tax bracket as we get older, probably.
Yeah. So that might make the case then for the traditional IRA over the Roth, because you get that immediate deduction. Let's say you all fully funded two traditional IRAs, you'd be able to take $15,000 off of your adjusted gross income for 2023, and then it would grow tax deferred. And then in retirement, you'd pull it out and just pay tax on it as income, but perhaps in a season where your income is lower than it is today. So that's the only consideration. But bottom line is, I do like prioritizing the Roth, the IRA, either the traditional or the Roth, over the 401k up to the limit if you're not going to get any matching.
Great. Very good. Thanks a lot.
All right, Michael, thank you for calling, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have several lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. All right, a quick email before we go back to the phones. This one comes from Jeannie, and she writes to us at askrob@faithfi.com. We renovated our home and have four new appliances. The manufacturer's warranties are all about to expire. Is paying for extended warranties, like from a big box store, worthwhile? The answer to that, Jeannie, is if you look at the data, typically not. What you will find is you're probably better off putting what you'd pay for the warranty into your emergency fund so that if something breaks, you can pay for it yourself. These warranties tend to be expensive. The fine print often excludes many things you think would be covered. You often have less control over who's doing the repairs. And for instance, if you go look at Consumer Reports, you'll see that, on average, folks spend more for the warranties than the benefit they get out of it. So they tend to be not rated very highly. So I think, especially given that you have new appliances or they were new fairly recently, I think just relying on your emergency fund to replace these in the event you needed to or repair them would probably be put you in a better position just on average based on, you know, what we've seen from folks over the years than buying these extended warranties. I hope that helps you. Thanks for writing to us today. And again, if you have a question you'd like read on the air, feel free to send it along. You can do that at askrob@faithfi.com. We have a lot of questions to get to today. Greg will be coming your way. We'll be headed to Oklahoma and Texas after that. First, we'll take a quick break. Before we do, though, let me take a moment and just remind you about our new website at faithfi.com. A couple of things you'll want to check out when you visit it. Number one, you can check out the FaithFi app, which is, I believe, the very best money management system out there right now for you to manage your spending plan on a monthly basis. There's three different money management systems built in, one for you to just track only. That's kind of the most hands-off approach if you just want to know directionally how I'm doing. Then there's the plan and track, where you actually set a budget and just track how you're doing against it so you can keep a gauge throughout the month on how you're doing. And then there's the most hands-on approach, which is based on Larry Burkett's envelope system. It's a digital version of the envelope system where you actually set up all of your envelopes based on your budget. You connect to your institution, download your transactions automatically. You fund your envelopes out of your paycheck. All this happens in the background automatically. But here's the thing. At any given point during the month, you'll know exactly what's left in every one of your envelopes so you can cut off spending and not go over your budget. You can download the app today when you head to our website, again, faithfi.com. While you're there, check out the FaithFi community. Folks are posting questions and getting answers to their questions every day, and perhaps you'll benefit from that as well. It's all there at faithfi.com. We'll be back with more questions after this. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Adolescence. That word strikes fear in many parents, but children can thrive in these often turbulent years with your support and guidance. On the next Focus on the Family, a panel of parents joins Jim Daly to discuss how to prepare your child for the teen years and adulthood. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio. Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for tuning in to Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. What a privilege it is to come alongside you to help you manage God's money, to be a wise and faithful steward. That's our goal, faithfulness. Those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We read from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. What does faithfulness look like? Well, it means understanding our role as money managers for the King of Kings, but it's bigger than that because the reality is we know that money is one of the things that will compete most often with God for first position in our lives. That's what we see in the parable of the sower in Mark 4, Jesus and his explanation to the disciples on what was going to choke out the word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return. He said it's the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things. These are the things of this world, the temporal, that can really crowd out God from being in first place in our lives. Remember, it's very clear in Scripture, you cannot serve both God and money. So the opportunity we have is really to really guard our hearts against allowing money to become an idol. Well, we do that by holding it loosely, by accepting God's provision and recognizing God's provision is complete and it's enough, and we need to live within it. And then we need to give generously because giving is one of the only things that breaks the power of money over our lives. I love what my friend Todd Harper says. He says, I've never met an unhappy, generous person. And that's the way it should be. That's the way God hardwired us. We're created in the image of the ultimate giver. So when we're giving, we're most like him, I like to say. We calibrate our hearts to the Father, and the blessing is we get to participate in his activity. Try it today. Think about how you can be intentionally more generous, have more gratitude in your life for all that God has blessed us with, and see if that doesn't reorient your thinking toward how you can use money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. All right, we've got a few lines open today. By the way, Jerry Boyer will be stopping by in our final segment of the broadcast today to weigh in on the economy and the markets. But first, let's head back to the phones. To Alabama we go. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, yes, sir. My question was that I have an opportunity to do a business acquisition. It would be a small business loan, but it's going to require for me to put up basically $100,000 of my own money. I'm 58 years old, so I'm getting on up there towards, you know, retirement age. And, it's going to, you know, take a good little bit of my 401k. The whole thing of it is that I just, at a point in my life, I really kind of want to, you know, work for myself. I've always had business goals and aspirations, and I'm just really unclear on what to do.
Yeah, you know, this is a challenging one because obviously I have very little information about this business that you would be taking on. I think the first thing that gives me a little pause is just often when we get into new business ventures, they are more costly. They take more time than we originally expect to get them off the ground. And working capital is really so key because what you want to do is make sure you have enough working capital that you're not putting your own financial house in jeopardy by presuming upon the future and counting on this business to perform in such a way that it's going to cover all of the operating costs without you having to continue to inject capital, which it sounds like you don't have without pulling out of these retirement accounts. At age 58, you know, you're just shy of that window where you would miss that penalty. So you'd have a major taxable event where this additional $100K would be added to your taxable income. Plus, you'd have a 10% penalty on top of it. And now that money's no longer working for you, which, by the way, if the 401K is down like everybody else, you're missing out on that recovery. And so I think for all of those reasons, Greg, I would be a little hesitant to proceed with this because the fact that we're having to pull it out just tells me that maybe we're not quite ready for something like this. And, you know, we would be going into it presuming a bit too much on the future. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, sir. That makes plenty of sense. And, I've just, you know, it's kind of like I want to do it, but I don't want to do it. And I just really needed some clarity. But I think you've answered my question.
Okay. Yeah, I would certainly make it a matter of prayer and go very cautiously. And just based on the limited information I have, I'd probably pass on it. I realize that's a lot for me to say, just given that I've only heard a couple of minutes of explanation. But I would at least just consider very heavily some of these kind of red flags that are presenting themselves that I've pointed out before you were to go forward with this. We appreciate you being a part of the program, sir. God bless you. We'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom here. To North Carolina, hey, Renee, thanks for calling today. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm kind of a late starter with my thrift savings, so I'm only sitting at maybe 150. Should I move any of that to my IRA at this point, or should I just ride it out because the market hasn't been that kind? I was a late starter.
Yeah, no worries. What is your age, Renee?
58.
Okay. And are you still with the government?
Yes, I'm still working.
Okay. But you haven't separated. So you probably can't roll that out until you separate from service. But even if you could, I think the key is, you know, even at 58, I mean, how far away do you think retirement is?
2 to 3 years.
Okay. All right. And when you retire, are you going to transition to something else, some other kind of paid work, or are you actually going to exit the workforce and try to live on your retirement assets at that point?
I would like to transition into something else.
Okay. Yeah. Because obviously it'd be too early to take Social Security. And even if you waited to 62, I'd try to, you know, avoid doing that. That's going to lock in about a 30% reduction, you know, from that point forward, if you take it that early. On top of that, you know, it really would be great for you to continue to work and fund, given that you are a little behind, continue to fund your long-term savings. So, you know, let's say we were to say, okay, you know, we're going to take the next decade. And even if you're maybe not going to stay in your current job, the idea would be you'd transition to something else. So not only could you continue to cover your bills, but you could continue to systematically fund retirement savings. And if that's the case, now we've got time on our side. So I think the key is you're just experiencing what everybody else experienced, which is, you know, it's been a tough year or a little more than that. The market was, you know, really under some pressure last year. It's gotten off to a better start this year, but we could have another down leg here, you know, depending on how severe the recession is that most economists are calling for this year. So given all of that, I'd probably wait this out And then, you know, if you're going to make some changes to a more conservative position, which you can do inside the TSP, then I would wait and do that after this recovers. But I'd be, you know, continuing to think about how can I stay working so that I don't have to rely on Social Security early and I can wait as long as possible and contribute as long as possible to retirement to build up the assets that I need so that I can actually fund my retirement when I am redirected to whatever God has next that may involve no longer getting paid for work. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, very good. So I'd probably sit tight if it were me, and let's let this recover, be patient, keep a long-term perspective, and then be ready to make some changes, you know, once this recovers, which could be later this year, could be next year. So you're just going to have to kind of wait it out. Appreciate you checking with us very, very much, Renee. God bless you. Sheila, we're going to come your way after the break, plus Jerry Boyer stops by to weigh in on the markets and the economy. Hey, if you're not a financial partner of ours here at FaithFi and you've benefited from this program, we'd invite you to be either a monthly or a one-time giver. You can do that quickly and easily at faithfi.com. Just click the give button. That's faithfi.com. Just click give. We'll be right back. Stay with us on Faith and Finance. More to come after this.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible. Weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today, Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We have room for one or two more questions, 800-525-7000. Just a moment, we'll talk to Jerry Boyer and get his take on the markets and the economy today. But first, to Oklahoma, Sheila, you've been waiting patiently. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have my financial advisor with LPL, and he's offered me, as a good deal, he said, I don't know, a CD for 3 months at 4.1% interest, or I could do a 7-year one, which pay a little over 6%. I'm just thinking the 3 months might be better, but what is your opinion?
Yeah, I think it would depend on your goals here, Sheila. Is this money that you want to tie up for 7 years? Are you willing to do that?
Well, I'm 74. And I don't know what the markets, I don't know if they're going to go up, the interest to go up, or if they might go down.
Yeah. We're expecting
really
in the Federal Reserve. Go ahead.
Really,
well, I was just going to say, here, I'll jump in here. I was just going to say the Federal Reserve has indicated that they are going to continue to raise rates. So I think, what you could do, Sheila, is ladder this you could talk to your advisor about it, but maybe you take a portion of it, put it 1 year, 2 years, and 3 years. And then as each third comes due, essentially every year you'd roll it over. There will be a point where if this is your long-term strategy and you want to stay in banking products with guaranteed returns, there will be a point here where interest rates are going to start to come back down as, you know, we see that the economy is improving and the Federal Reserve can, you know, stop raising interest rates and allow this economy to begin to grow again. And one of the ways to stimulate that is by dropping interest rates. And as they come down, obviously, you will lose some of these more attractive rates that are available right now in CD products. So I'd probably stay on the shorter end with a portion of it just so you have the advantage of taking some higher rates. But if you've got the right time horizon and, you know, if you could lock in at 6% for the next 7 years, that's a phenomenal rate. And if that meets your objectives and you don't have to take any risk, you know, why not? I mean, the ability to get an extra half a point is probably not worth you missing that opportunity to lock in at that higher rate. So I think a lot of this just has to do with the timing, the liquidity needs that you have, meaning how much access do you need to the money? And so for that reason, I might take a portion of it, maybe half, and stay on the shorter duration, maybe a year, which would allow you to roll it over and take advantage of higher rates in 12 months if they're available, or even that three-month CD. And then maybe the other half, go ahead. And again, if your liquidity requirements allow for you to, if you could lock in at that 6% for 7 years, I think that's phenomenal. I haven't seen that available before, so I think that would be a great option. Thanks for checking with us, Sheila. We appreciate it. Hey, before we go back to the phones, it's a Friday, which means our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry is a columnist at World Opinions. He's our resident economist. He's an author, and he checks in with us each Friday to reflect on the markets and what we've seen during the week. And Jerry, a lot of data out this week about consumption and the job market and inflation. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, it was a heavy data week to be sure. Probably the biggest items were the GDP revision and this morning's I don't want to get technical, PCE. So it's one of the measures of inflation, consumer inflation. Basically, the data this week was almost entirely recessionary. Now, the markets already kind of knew that. Markets were already pricing in a recession. And what happened this week is, as you know, it's an up week for stocks. It's an up week for gold. It's a down week for the dollar. So we're back, this whole thing where the Fed goes back and forth between the two mandates. And this week, markets said, you know what? Fed's it's made up of people, and they have their models that they like to follow. But on the other hand, nobody wants to be blamed for a recession. And it looks like we might already be in a recession or entering one. So we think the Fed is going to lose its nerve. It's not going to follow its rules. And it's going to go back into a cutting mode. So almost certainly they'll hike rates next week. But it's now anticipated that after a couple more meetings, they're going to turn around, they're going to start cutting rates, and that the hikes going forward will be tiny compared to what the Fed has been saying. So basically, markets don't believe the Fed is going to follow their inflation-fighting rules, and that's why they behave the way they did this week.
Yeah, interesting. And obviously, the Fed has a lot of power here as to what we're going to experience over the balance of the year and in the years to come. Jerry, you mentioned gold. We've gotten a lot of calls as of late from folks wondering, is this a good time for perhaps me to dial up that typical 5% allocation to gold, just given everything that's going on around us? How would you help them think about the role of gold in their portfolios?
Yeah, gold's funny because it's an asset that some people own too much of and some people own too little of, and almost nobody owns the right amount of it, which is a kind of almost like an insurance policy slice of your portfolio, as opposed to the world's about to, you know, go to hell in a handbasket and things are you know, the economy's going to collapse and I need gold and shotguns and freeze-dried food, or just everything's always going to work out and everything will be fine. I think you do need to have some kind of hedge. Well, they need to. Now, I'm not going to individualize, but I think generally it's prudent to have some kind of hedge against something like high inflation and some kind of debt crisis. And gold historically has played that role. Cryptocurrencies also played that role, but they're a lot more confusing and they're a lot more volatile. I think that we have the Fed has not beaten inflation. It's talking as though it has, but the markets don't believe that the Fed has beaten inflation. I don't believe that the Fed has beaten inflation. They brought it down somewhat, but it's still above average. We haven't solved our budget problem, so we have to keep creating new money to finance the spending. So, yeah, I think it's prudent if you're someone who has an allocation to gold and you have a range for that, that you set up with your financial advisor. Maybe advisors ought to think about moving towards the higher end of that range rather than the lower end of that range. But going all in on gold, as a lot of people talk about, that is not something I wouldn't suggest all in on any asset class.
Yes.
Even stocks, which have a better track record over the long run than gold. So I would not be all in on that asset class.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful. Wise counsel and the perhaps consider moving to the upper end of your range that you had predetermined for your investment strategy according to your goals and objectives. Jerry, one other quick, maybe two-part question here on the economy. Obviously, the red-hot labor market has been front and center as a part of all of this that the Fed has been considering, and then just the supply-demand imbalances that have led to some of this inflation surge. Would you comment on both of those and their role in all of this?
Yeah, I don't think we can look at the labor markets the way we have historically, where just a improving economy means that you just have more jobs, and a bad economy means you have less jobs. We have a significant structural imbalance. Why do we have a structural imbalance? Well, we've had two significant cultural changes. 50 years ago, we had a cultural shift associated with Roe versus Wade. And since then, you know, almost 70 million people didn't come into they came into existence, but they didn't come into the world. They didn't come into our lives because they were aborted. That has a tremendous impact. And so there is just going to automatically be a labor shortage because all those people would be 50 years or younger now. And that's prime working years. So it's had tremendous impacts at the moral level, at the spiritual level, at the cultural level. And one of the impacts is at the economic level. The other thing is there seems to have been a cultural shift away from the biblical work ethic. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is a Sabbath. You know, I don't want to argue about Sabbaths or not, but the point is there's a command, not just a command to rest, there's also a command to work. Yeah. And people seem to now see work as optional. So if you see work as optional and the government makes it easier not to work with a safe, you were supposed to have a safety net, not a hammock. We have more of a hammock now. So working really is optional financially. It's optional culturally. You don't feel ashamed to not work, even if you're able-bodied. And we're also missing a lot of people because the boomers didn't replace themselves demographically. Well, expect to continue to have labor shortages for a long time.
Yeah, interesting, Jerry. Well, obviously, you're bringing up a lot of points here. And again, all of it comes back to God's design for economies and economics and valuing human life and the fact that there's a created order to all of this. And when we violate God's design, well, we pay the price for it. Just quickly, your comments on the supply, demand, and even supply chain imbalances. And have we resolved most of that at this point?
Yeah, that's mostly better because markets are extremely adaptive. It's not perfect. Part of it is the supply chain side of things in China, which is a totalitarian state. So they can shut down whole provinces. And if people don't like it, too bad. We're the CCP. You're just going to have to deal with it. So that created a certain vulnerability. We can argue about how much international trade there should be. Just understand that there are implications. Some are good and some are negative. But I would say that generally that's healed, not because China's great, but because markets are good at adapting to change and the other countries found ways to sort of step up and supply. So freedom does work if you allow it to work.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jerry, well said. We appreciate you stopping by, my friend. All the best to you.
My pleasure. God bless.
All right, that's Jerry Boyer. He's the author of The Maker versus the Takers, What Jesus Really Said About Social Justice and Economics. It's a must read for you to get perhaps a different perspective on the Gospels as you look at what Jesus said in light of who he was talking to and the economic backdrop. Check it out where you buy books today. Well, folks, thanks for stopping by and tuning into the broadcast today. It's always a privilege to be along with you to mine the scriptures and apply God's wisdom to your financial lives. On behalf of my amazing team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West, and hope you'll have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy church on Sunday and come back and join us on Monday. We'll be here to do it all over again. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.